This year has seen unprecedented volatility in the oil markets, and one key world producer is Nigeria, which is actually the fifth largest supplier to the United States. And the United States is Nigeria's biggest single market, so strong relationship there. Attacks on key pipelines and oil companies by a militant group calling itself the Movement for the Emancipation of the Niger Delta, or MEND, have triggered ripples in world prices in the past couple of months and forced production down an estimated 20% this year. The group's attacks and kidnappings are just the latest in many decades of tensions between people in the Niger Delta, who are desperately poor and living in deteriorating environmental conditions, according to many advocacy groups, and the Nigerian government, which has benefited by the billions from oil sales. Right now, to discuss what's happening there, we're joined by Commander Faro Dagogo, who is the commander of the Eastern Front for MEND, and Patrick Smith, a reporter for the biweekly paper Africa Confidential in London. Welcome, gentlemen.
Greetings.
Commander Dagogo, what are your demands to the Nigerian government?
Well, our demands are very simple. It's something that everyone can see when you visit the region. It is injustice being played out for over 50 years of oil exploration in Nigeria. We are demanding something simple. We want to practice true federalism, the same kind of federalism that is practiced in America, where the resources of the region is managed by the people, and we pay a tax to the central government. We also want the oil companies to care more about our environment, the same way they are mindful of the environment in the United States. Taking Alaska for an example, because of our issues in Niger Delta, we realize that the American government is now forced to begin considering drilling for oil in Alaska, an area they had always wanted to conserve.
Mm-hmm. How far are you willing to go? How far is MEND willing to go? I mean, you've claimed responsibility for kidnappings and responsibilities for deaths of what many would argue are innocent people.
Well, we are going to do as long as it takes. We are going to follow the same example like what America had to do during the Second World War when it dropped the atomic bomb on Hiroshima and Nagasaki. During the creation of the bomb, they realized that innocent people, children, women, and adults, innocent people were going to be killed. But it was a difficult decision that had to be taken. We know, and we don't really appreciate to have deaths of people or oil workers. But if it has to be, these are some of the sacrifices that people would have to take.
The government has called you little more than terrorists. Is that now a threat of all-out war against the government at this point?
No, they also call us criminals. Remember that during the period when there was nonviolent agitation by Kenole Bisson-Sarowiwa, he was labeled as a criminal by Nigeria's representative in the United Nations, and he was also killed, and that is for somebody taking a peaceful approach. So when that doesn't work, well, we have nothing to lose by any name that we are being branded as. It's a matter of giving a dog a bad name just to hang it.
Pat, let's bring Patrick Smith into this conversation. Patrick, you've been reporting on the story. How would you describe what's happening?
Well, it seems pretty well forecast. This crisis in the Niger Delta, as the representative of MEND says, dates back a long time. It's really right back to the early discovery of oil in Nigeria and its production in commercial quantities 50 years ago. The people of the Niger Delta have had long-standing grievances against both government and the international oil companies. And these have surfaced increasingly in recent years. And what we've seen is as the global energy crisis and shortage has worsened, we've seen a stepping up of the activities by the militants in Nigeria's oil-producing areas. So what's happening now with this latest escalation is pretty predictable. Indeed, the participants in the militant groups have been threatening to do this for some time. What they seem to be saying is that the government isn't serious. The government came in under President Yadawa last year after the elections and started talking about dialogue. They have a vice president who's from the Delta region. They started talking about a big conference to deal with the problems of the Niger Delta. But on the ground, if you go there today, you'll find that very little has changed. In many ways, things have got worse. So then,
just to stop you there, so in other words, when Commander Dagogo says that peaceful means, dialogue, negotiations with the government have essentially not addressed any of the issues of sharing the profits, oil profits, or any of the environmental concerns.
They haven't addressed the big issues. What they've done is they put sticking plasters on. So what you've seen is a number of sort of local contractors have been given money to go and quieten things down, sometimes acting as sort of security agents for the oil companies, almost like a sort of mafia gang boss. You know, the oil companies are paying people off like protection rackets, just quieten things down for a little bit. Here's some money, just share it around and sort it out. But that isn't addressing the fundamental issues, which are, you know, resource control, dealing with the environment, creating viable, sustainable economic activities for people. There's mass unemployment in the Delta.
Patrick, let me just ask you one quick question because we just have a few seconds left. Do most Nigerians feel that men, are they terrorists or are they freedom fighters?
That's really enormously difficult question. What I would say without because a lot of people really don't know what MEND is. It's almost like a sort of a militant franchise to many Nigerians. But I think what you would say is that you meet most Nigerians, they'll say there are real injustices in the Niger Delta that have to be addressed.
Patrick Smith, we're going to have to leave it there. Thank you very much. Patrick Smith is a reporter for the biweekly paper Africa Confidential in London, and Commander Farah Dagogo, thank you, Commander of the Eastern Front for the Movement for the Emancipation of the Niger Delta.
So we're talking about bailouts. How much should the government be willing to bail out financial companies in need?
Hi, it's Dave from Providence. At least we're spending some of our money at home. Not all of it's leaving. You know, it's money we could be spending on war efforts. Is that what they're called?
And your takeaway for today?
This is the mother of all bailouts.
Peter Marici at the University of Maryland talking about bailouts on The Takeaway.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing. Or
politics.
Country music.
Hockey.
Sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.